You are now listening to the Unshakable Health Show with Dr. Thomas Hemingway. Aloha. Here we go. Oh my gosh. So pumped. It is crazy, crazy. Another week, another month. We are, gosh, I feel like it's summer. It's the middle of May, actually beyond the hump day of May, beyond. We are coming down to the last 10 days or so of May, and it's crazy. Just spent a week on the East Coast with my family, which was incredible. I got to witness one of my children graduate from college. He did the walk and he got laid in the Hawaiian way. Come on, folks, clean up your thoughts there. Leis are those cool round things, kind of like those homemade necklaces that you put around your neck to congratulate somebody, to wish them good luck and congrats. And my son got a bunch of leis from family members all over the country, which was amazing. Some of them even had a little dinero for him, which he was pretty pumped about. Had some intricately folded pieces of money in there for him. And anyway, my son graduated from college this past week, which was it was so cool to watch him walk, to just to hear his name with his graduation and with honors. He graduated with a really high GPA, which, you know, I'm just going to say that was all him. He just crushed it. He's a cool kid. And super talented beyond his just amazing intellectual abilities. I mean, this kid does 720s on a snowboard. He gets pretty big air on a skateboarding half pipe and on a mountain bike as well. He can clear some pretty big jumps on a mountain bike. And he's just a cool kid, plays the piano like you wouldn't believe, writes his own music. And he just graduated from college, so I'm super pumped. Congrats, Elijah. You're just the bomb. You are the coolest kid, and I love you, dude. And yeah, so this is, he's not going to be listening to this, so don't worry. I have told him, and I will tell him again, and I'll send your congrats as well, because this podcast this week, I'm going to talk about something I've never talked about, which it's going to kind of blow your minds a little bit, and it's going to be a little interesting. I'm going to share data, and actually on this particular topic, there's not a lot of data, and I'll share some experiences, both mine and shared from folks that I know and trust, and it's going to be fun. We're going to get into it. It's going to be super fun, but before I do that, I just want to send a big aloha to everybody out there, and a big mahalo, as we say in Hawaii. Thank you for being here, for being part of a show, for being one of my just awesome fans, followers, folks that are listening and enjoying some of these amazing shows that we do, all based on evidence and that we share each and every week. And I'm going to shout out SunnyGirl45, who says on her Apple podcast review, and if you guys haven't dropped a review, oh my goodness, like we've literally had hundreds and hundreds of thousands of downloads. Like every week we get thousands and thousands of downloads, and I have like 200 something reviews. So come on, wake up, get out there, smell the coffee, as they say, and just drop a review over there on Apple. It really moves the needle. Scroll down to the bottom of the Apple podcast where you grab it, and there's a 5-star thing. Click on the star farthest to the right, and then right below that it says write a review. Just drop me a quick 1-sentence review. I will love you forever. I'm so grateful. And more people can find this cool show, which is not only educational, but it's fun, it's lighthearted. You guys know it, so just share it out. So this is from SunnyGirl45, 5 stars. She says, love this show, ! Dr. Hemingway is not only an expert on health matters, he is an excellent speaker who is able to share his knowledge in a clear and understandable way. I love his energy and enthusiasm. Wow, SunnyGirl45, thank you so much. I am so grateful for each and every one of you that has dropped a review. And if you haven't already, do so. Tag me, take a picture of it, whatever. I'm going to give away a bunch of copies of my book, and you may just get one. You can give it to friends or family, or just grab my book, for crying out loud. It's on Amazon. Preventable. Preventable. 5 powerful practices to avoid disease, build unshakable health. You can grab it today. It's still there. I just checked, because you guys know, many of you know, that was actually taken down from Amazon. I guess the powers that be were not ready for this powerful health information that could change your life. And super fun anyway to read, super entertaining as well. I share some cool anecdotes and stories and just a lot of helpful information. So grab my book, Preventable. Drop a review on Amazon if you haven't already. And of course, just share this podcast out. This is going to be exciting. It's going to be different. it may kind of blow your mind a little bit, because I'm going to say things that you've never heard me say before, and I'm going to share some evidence. I'm also going to share some stories that I am very familiar with, both from family and friends and trusted colleagues, that I'm going to just share out a bunch of stuff that I think is going to open your eyes a bit and may have you get a little pensive and thoughtful and decide how you are going to approach this in your own life. And yeah, reach out to me if you want to know, share, hear more. It's going to be interesting, but we're going to get right down to it. And the question I have for you and for so many others is this. The question is, should you have your kids listen to health podcasts? Should you allow them to listen to health podcasts? Should there be a, I don't know, it's kind of funny. Like when I first published my podcast and, you know, it has the whole list of things and is it appropriate for children? You know, you check the boxes if it's for mature audiences or if you like some colorful four-letter words or whatnot, which I don't know if I've ever used any of those on my show. I don't typically use those colorful explicatives. I've had a couple of shows where some of my guests have dropped one or two, and I've mostly tried to edit them out just because, you know, this could be a family show. However, what's super interesting, right now, today, I am going to share my thoughts on should you or should you not let kids listen to podcasts. Any podcast, or specifically, I'm going to speak about health podcasts. Why health podcasts? Because I just know a little bit about health podcasts, right? I've been doing a very successful one for, I think we're in our fourth year now, and thanks to you all, it is growing, and it has been something that I really feel like has been helpful to many, many people. But this is, I'm just going to say it, this is for adults. This is an adult podcast, and my recommendation is for it to be for adults, that I wouldn't typically, you know, ask you to share this with kids. And I really think this is, and maybe if they're older kids, if they're, you know, 18 and up, right? Big kids like me, I'm a big kid. Of course, it's for them. But for young kids, I'm not so sure. And I'm going to share with you why, and I'm going to share some data. And it may just blow your mind. So just think about this question. Should kids listen to health podcasts? And it sounds really simple. It sounds very straightforward, right? And you think, well, duh, right? Wouldn't you want kids to learn healthy tips, tricks, and tools? Well, yes, but I'm going to suggest to you that there is a better way than having them listen to a health podcast. I'm actually not really a fan of kids listening to health podcasts. And that's for a number of reasons. One, it's kind of obvious, right? Like depending on the age of the kid, they may not be mature enough to understand the material, but to be able to place it with some appropriate background, because kids don't know how to prioritize what's really meaningful, what's not so meaningful. They'll catch little bits and they'll, you know, we're far from perfect. I'm definitely very far from perfect. I make mistakes every single day. Just ask my kids. I mean, I'm a pretty mellow, likable, chill dude. But like if I haven't slept in a week, like a few weeks ago, we were had some of my kids with me for a few days in Florida. And I worked 7 days in a row, a bunch of night shifts. And I'm embarrassed to admit it, to be honest. I looked at my little watch here. You know, see this fancy smartwatch, which it's actually not that fancy. My wife got it for free and it's not super fancy, but it tells me a sleep score. I was getting really crappy sleep scores and it was monitoring my average per night sleep. And for this 1 week period, I'll just say it, my sleep was 3 hours on average for a whole week. And so some nights I got more, some nights I got less, right? Of course, those nights I was doing the night shift, I wasn't getting much sleep. It's a 12-hour night shift. I was trying to piece some before and some after, but it's a struggle. I'm just going to be honest. Not my favorite thing to be up all night, but you know, some docs got to do it. We're out there helping people and we make ourselves available. And so some nights I do work all through the night, but I'm going to be honest, I was a little grouchy when I hadn't gotten much sleep. And I typically, not that I'm grouchy here on the show, because I usually get a little bit of rest I love sharing this stuff. But in general, listening to health podcasts. I'm just going to say it. It's for adults. Don't let your kids listen to health podcasts. Unless maybe you've pre-screened them, like with anything, right? I mean, if you're going to let your kids watch a certain movie, and especially they're young or impressionable young kids, like I do have a couple of young kids, a couple that have just finished college, but I got some in between. And if there's a movie that I'm thinking they may or may not be able to watch, I'm usually going to watch that first, or I'm just not going to have my younger kids watch it at all, right? You kind of want to screen and pre-screen, and you should do the same with podcasts. But I'm just going to go out there on a limb, and I'll share with you why in just a sec. But in general, I just don't think health podcasts are for kids. Okay, here's reason number one. Reason number one is there's just a better way. Do you know what the best way to teach kids healthy habits? Guess what that is? It is not having them listen to health podcasts. Sorry, I'm just going to say that, and I'm a podcaster, but that's not what it is. That most helpful and successful and effective way to teach kids healthy habits is you do those healthy habits. Start with your example. If you want your kids to be healthy yourself. And what does that mean? It just means you make it a priority to eat real food, right? Have a reasonable diet. Yeah, you can have a treat here and there. Totally fine, because I think it's good for kids to see that it's okay to have a dessert once in a while, right? You don't need a dessert with every meal, and it certainly doesn't have to be some super highly processed, not so awesome one. But if they want to have an Oreo once in a while, I let my daughter, I'm just going to say it, last night, I let her have an Oreo cookie. Like, so what? Big deal. I ate Oreo cookies when I was a kid, and guess what? I'm a pretty healthy dude. I'm 50 years old this year, and I feel like I'm 16. Like, I can do basically everything that I could do at 16 and even more. You know, I can hit the snowboarding jumps at a higher altitude. I mean, literally, I can soar over these things, catch big air. I can surf giant waves. I can mountain bike on big jumps, all these kinds of things, as good and mostly better than when I was a teenager. I can do now in my 50s and beyond. And so I eat Oreos once in a while too. I don't buy big packs every week. There was a time where I would always have a big pack in my pantry. That's not now, but I'll buy Oreos here and there. I bought some last night, for crying out loud. So what? Big deal. But kids will learn healthy habits best if you just show them. If you are the example, they will mirror you, right? Kids are awesome, and they are amazing at mimicry. And if any of you have kids out there, you know this, right? If you slip up and you talk a certain way, you might say a certain word. Guess what? If the kids heard it, they might be saying that later. And you look at them, and sometimes you want to get upset, and then you think, crap, that's me in the mirror. Like, they're saying what I said. I gotta be a little more careful with how I talk, because guess who they learn from? Well, they learn from us, mom and dad. Of course, their schoolmates, their friends. They're people that they hang with, whether it be at a church function, a social interaction, the neighborhood, kids, whatever. They are always exposed to a lot of stuff. And we as parents, we actually get to have a decent amount of influence on what our kids are exposed to, especially at a young age. And so I'm just going to tell you, once again, don't let them listen to health podcasts. And here's why. One, especially if they're younger kids, they just don't know how to place the information. And I'm not a perfect podcaster. I may see things that could be interpreted in a way that I'm not going to be super pumped about. And just in general, kids are not the right age group for these kinds of topics, right? I mean, we talk about what is healthy or healthier. You know, you might use the good, better, best. And I hate to give food any kind of label. Like, I don't think food is good or bad or in between. Food is food, right? Or most food is food. Well, maybe, right? Ultra processed food, I don't know. It's not really great food in that respect, or the best option out there. But I really think we got to be cautious with labeling food. You don't want to call it a good thing or a bad thing, or, you know, giving it these labels. Even I struggle with this. I like to have my kids know that this food, whatever that may be, and typically in our house, we cook most of our own meals. Last week we were traveling, so we ate out a fair amount, and I don't think we ever hit. Did we ever hit McDonald's? I don't think so. Once we did for ice cream. I'm gonna be honest, a super hot day, sultry. You know how the East Coast gets, really humid. We stopped in for one of those ice cream cones, the soft serve, which, you know, it is what it is. Not amazing, but, you know, tasted good at the time. So what? We walked like 30,000 steps that day, had an ice cream cone, big deal. Like, it was kind of fun. It was hot outside. But here's the thing. If you just have reasonable health habits, you eat mostly real food, cook mostly real food, have mostly real food. And I'm just talking in generalities here. Single ingredient whole foods in your kitchen, your refrigerator, your pantry. Kids are going to see that and they are going to mimic it and mirror it. And they will most likely be more prone to eat real foods as an adult as well. And also with exercise, same thing. If you move your body every day, they will want to move their body every day. If you're having a little dance party after the meals and we're all moving and grooving, if you will, and having fun, and they see that's a fun, cool thing to do, they're probably going to do that as adults too. If you go for a walk very often, they'll want to go for a walk. If you ride bikes, if you go on the trail, if you hit the slopes, if you go to the beach, walk, surf, whatever that is, go to the park, like you do that regularly with your kids, guess what? They're going to do it too. The mimicry and the example of what you are doing is the most powerful. Hands down, number one, you as a parent, as an adult, as a role model, you are the most powerful with your example, with what you do, right? We all hate the do as I say, not as I do, you know, folks, approach, right? This is not, I mean, just do as I do. And if you do healthy things, eating real foods, moving your body regularly, practicing other healthy habits like mindfulness and good sleep and stress optimization with whether it be a outside time when you're stressed out or breathing techniques, you can even teach your kids. We've found that actually pretty helpful with some of our kids, helping them learn simple relaxation techniques, breathing techniques when they're stressed out or when they're wanting to scream, yell, throw a fit. You know, it used to be just, you know, the dunce cap in the corner kind of thing, you know, time out, right? Go to the chair and time out and go face the wall or whatever. It's like, that's what happened to me as a kid. And I don't feel like that was probably the best thing, but there's other tools we can teach our kids. And most of it, just going to be honest, is best learned through example. And as far as podcasts go, like podcasts, it's an interesting topic, and there's very little data on podcasts, and basically zero data on podcasts with kids, like pretty much none. There's some, I hate to call it, expert advice, if you will, from the American Academy of Pediatrics and other groups as such. And basically, they just say, make sure it's age appropriate, make sure that it is within the behavioral and developmental age group for the kids. Make sure you've listened to it or watched it first. You know, you can have a good pulse of this. And I would just say, yes, those are all good things to think about. But in general, just don't let your kids listen to health podcasts. And don't be listening to them in the background when they can hear it when you're doing other stuff, like driving in the car, when the kids are in there, they're going to pick up some of the stuff. And like, I've made this mistake. I'm just going to be honest. I'm an offender. I've made this mistake. I used to be into listening to health podcasts while we'd be driving in the car, like years ago when it, you know, they were really, I would say, controversial folks, you know, talking about like nothing but carnivore diets or nothing but this diet or nothing but that kind of behavior thing, whatever. And I was listening to it because I was curious and I was interested, but having my kids in the car hearing this at a young age, I don't think was awesome. And I'm going to share a couple of things that now, as I think about this in retrospect, I think will be helpful. But in general, don't let kids listen to health podcasts. Instead, have them mirror your healthy behavior. So this is an invitation to me, to you, to all of us to just improve our own healthy habits, because kids will best learn through example in just about everything. And that's what the data shows. That's what my personal experience, and I have a little bit of experience. I got 6 kids. And I'll tell you, for better or for worse, they are good at mimicking myself and my wife. And we see a lot of our biggest flaws in them because they are mimicking and learning from us. And so we are also growing and learning each and every day. And don't beat yourself up. My kids have learned great habits from my wife and I, awesome habits, and some maybe not so awesome habits. Some of it through what we've either done, said, or what we've listened to. And so be careful. But when we think about health podcasts, what's really interesting is there's basically no data on health podcasts in kids, like pretty much none. And even in health podcasts in adults, there's very little data. I'm going to share with you the one paper. It's a review article from 2024 entitled Use of Podcasts for Health Education, a scoping review, 2024. And this is really the biggest data set that I could find, period. And it only is based upon 11 studies from the time frame of 2022 to 2024. They looked at 11 studies. They tried to synthesize the results, and this was specifically about health podcasts, yet it was only on adults 18 years old and up. And what they came to was that in adults, health podcasts can be helpful. Yes, they can, and I believe that. I've learned a bunch of cool stuff and helpful things from health podcasts, and I hope that I've shared things that have helped you in your life as well. But what they've shown is that in adults, health podcasts can be helpful, both to increase knowledge. They've been helpful with interaction, helpful with weight loss, with learning, a satisfaction, behavioral change. It's some pretty cool stuff, but this is only in adults, only in adults. It says, these characteristics grant podcasts a transformative role in promoting health knowledge and empowering individuals in managing their own health conditions, right? It says, however, although podcasts are a viable strategy for motivating users and complementing knowledge remotely, it is highlighted that in-person guidance is essential and can assist individuals in their self-care and treatment adherence. Nothing is a better substitute than in-person. So don't just listen to me. Hopefully you have some kind of a coach or mentor, or maybe your doctor or nutritionist, somebody who can kind of boots on the ground guide you through this, because that's even more helpful than just listening for a lot of ways. One, when we're listening, especially podcasts, right? We're often a little distracted. We might be going for a walk. We might be driving our vehicle. But like I said, if you're in your vehicle with your kids, your young kids, don't listen to a health podcast. Just put on some music, put on something fun, you know, do some sing-alongs, right? It's just a lot of fun. Good memories. I remember as a kid, we used to take these road trips. We'd put in either an 8-track. Yes, we had 8-track. I guess you'd call them cassettes, but they're kind of like the prehistoric cassette in your car. We had those players. I mean, I'm in the 70s and 80s growing up. And so we had 8-tracks. Then later we had the formal, you know, TDK cassette tapes. And then after that, of course, much later came the CDs and whatnot. And now it's like nobody even has those things, right? It's just plug in your smart device and go for it, right? But do some of that. Just listen to music, have fun in the car, talk with one another, right? What a concept. Talk with one another and don't listen to health podcasts with kids. And here's why. So I've already mentioned that a lot of these are, well, they're really gauged and meant for adults. Adults that have some degree of maturity, that have some understanding of health. I try to break it down, make it pretty simple. But kids don't know how to place these things. You know, they hear things and they might take one piece of something that I said or somebody else said, and then they go all extremist on that one piece. And I'll just be honest, I have a child that I don't remember who was the, I don't want to say perpetrator, but who was the host of whatever show or the guest. And there was something about like a keto diet or something. And I'll be honest, I even did this for a while. And my kid, I didn't realize that this, and he was a teenager, like he wasn't a young kid, but he didn't tell me. And all of a sudden, after a few months, I was like, dude, what's going on with you? Like, how come you're not eating, you know, pasta when we have pasta? Or like, you know, occasionally we'll buy some fresh baked bagels, not every day, not even every week, but occasionally. And it's kind of fun. You make a breakfast sandwich or something, throw on a bunch of eggs and some sausage and some cheese. And, you know, it's not an everyday thing, but like he wouldn't eat these things. And I'm like, dude, what's going on? Like, you always loved eating bananas. Now you won't eat a banana. Like, what the heck? Like, what's happening? I still eat bananas. I still eat carbs. I'm not a no carb guy. I mean, maybe I had a low, super low carb period, but I'm eating carbs every single day. And my kid was just not. And I'm like, dude, what happened? What's going on? And it was basically one of these health influencers. And also myself went through a time where I was having these kind of behaviors, which he saw and was like, he went all extremist. His personality is like, you hear something and you just full-on extremist thing. And I feel bad because I feel like I allowed that to happen. I listened to some podcast in the car when he was there with me. And then I read this book by Dr. Mercola, which I still think is a cool book. But what's interesting is he's even recanted a fair amount of it, the book called Fat for Fuel. Because there was a time even in my life where I didn't do a lot of carbs because I read it in this book and I'm like, Dr. McCullough is a cool dude. He's pretty smart. He must be onto something, but he's basically come around. And what's cool is he's been able to say that he's learned that a ketogenic diet all the time is not good. Like it's good for certain. You can rotate it. And if you're trying to have a bunch of weight loss or you're trying to get rid of your type 2 diabetes, like ketogenic diets have a place. Also with some cancer scenarios and things, they have a place, but it's not like for 24/7, 365 and every year, year after year. It's not really for that. You should at least be cycling. And I just found that like my kid grabbed onto one of these things and he was like full on like keto and it wasn't helping him. It wasn't helping him. He wasn't thriving. And so I actually had to share with him some articles that Mercola had written present day that were like, you know what? Keto, no carb is not really awesome all the time. Like we should be a little bit more mindful. You do actually need carbs. And like kids, heck yeah, they need plenty of carbs, right? I mean, hopefully it's coming from fruits like bananas and berries and those kinds of things. Lots of fruits and lots of veggies. And, you know, if you like to cook some homemade bread, like, amazing. I mean, they should be having pizza once in a while. And hopefully you're making it homemade, but you know, we mostly do homemade, but not always. I mean, last week we were traveling. I'm going to be honest. We just bought the pizza that was close by because it was quick. It was easy. We walked our 30,000+ steps. I mean, up and down it was crazy, right? From the Washington Monument down to the Jefferson, the Lincoln, all the different things. And then my kid's like, oh, let's go back. Let's go all the way back up to the Capitol because I want to get some better pictures. It was rainy at first. And so we did it again. And literally we're doing like 30,000+ steps a day. And like, if we're going to have some pizza, like whatever, that's fine. But with kids, you got to be really careful with what you say, what you allow them to listen to, because they just may not place it in the appropriate context because they just don't have the life experience. Most of us are adults here. We've had decades of life experience. We have a better feel for these things. And I think the best way to teach kids healthy habits is not by listening to health podcasts. It's actually through example. Yes, example. That's the best thing. So I'm going to share with you some other data that I found, which, like I said, not a lot of data out there. Here's a piece that I thought was cool. But for us as adults, if you want to listen to a podcast while you're doing exercise, go for it. I often do this. I'll go for a walk or I'll even be lifting some weights at home and be catching up on one of my latest, you know, podcast, whatever that may be. I listen to a variety of different things, not just health, actually mostly other things, not health, because I read tons of health stuff. I'd rather not listen to health stuff. I want to read other stuff about business, about investments, about economics, about all kinds of cool, different, intriguing scientific stuff. I mean, we spent last week and we went to, you know, the Smithsonian was so cool. Like I learned from start to finish how the Wright brothers came from Ohio, right? And they did their experiments at Kitty Hawk, North Carolina because of the wind. And they, you know, it was just super interesting stuff and the iterations of their different gliders. And I just love science. I'm kind of a nerd that way. But here's what I found is cool. And there is data showing that when you listen to a podcast while exercising, totally cool, totally fine. It's not going to decrease your learning or decrease your potential for memorization. In fact, it has even been shown to produce a greater ability for word recall than learning without any kind of movement. And I learned this as a college and medical student, young man. I was going to say kid. I mean, I feel like I'm still a kid. But when I would be learning and trying to teach myself things, I would do it standing. This was way before anybody ever heard of a standing desk. I would stand up at a blackboard, chalkboard, whatever. And I would write things. And so I would stimulate all of my senses that I could. I would say things out loud. I would write it on a board. I would be standing, moving. And I found that the more senses I would stimulate, the better I would retain something. And so if you're listening while you're moving your body, you can even say some things like, I'll often, if I hear something super cool and I want to memorize it, occasionally I'll do a quick note or write it down. But I may just stop, press pause, and just say it out loud. Maybe it was a famous quote. Maybe it was something that I just thought was cool, some little anecdote that was kind of fun that I want to share later with someone, my wife, maybe somebody, a friend, family member, whatever. I will just stop the podcast and I'll say it out loud. So not only am I moving my body, I'm verbally saying it. I hear it with my own two ears. And guess what? I'm more likely to remember it. And the data shows that. Pretty cool. So it says, in general, exercising while learning has not been demonstrated to negatively affect memorization. And it has even been shown to produce a greater ability for word recall than learning while not exercising. So that is from Zabrinsky. And it's entitled, The Effectiveness of Studying When Coupled with an Exercise-Induced Arousal, Medicine and Science in Sports and Exercise, 2015. If you want to see that actual article, message me and I will share that with you. But cool, cool stuff. Let's get back to the kids part. So no health podcast for kids. I wouldn't have them read health books. I would just teach them through example because you never know what a kid may latch onto and they'll pick out the most odd. You'd be like, you heard that? What? And then I'll think, oh, maybe it's some guest on some podcast that I once played in the car. They grabbed onto this idea and like, what the heck? Here I am trying to be the picture of health and my kids are picking up on super random stuff. And then I'm having to deconstruct that and have them relearn what I think is in a better context. So, because this can mess kids up. I mean, I showed you already, just I shared one of my kids got, you know, this keto thing, which I think is not good for kids in general. They shouldn't be in keto. I mean, they've studied ketogenic diets for epileptics, right, over the years. I do have a child that had years of a seizure disorder, thankfully not anymore, but I see the rationale for certain patient populations. But in general, kids should just be mimicking your own healthy behaviors. They shouldn't be on any real strict dietary protocol in general. I do have, as you guys know, I do have a child with type 1 insulin-dependent diabetes. And so we do eat less carbs, maybe on average, but I allow this child to have carbs because she does need carbs to grow. You shouldn't be full on keto. Like I don't do a ton of carbs and we try to limit processed foods, but mostly I try to teach her through example and just my own behaviors. And we don't really talk about food in any connotations of good or bad or healthy or unhealthy. We just talk about tasty foods that we like as a family, and it generally happens to be whole foods or foods made from whole foods that we often make. We cook really about 7 days a week, unless we're traveling like last week. But lead by example. Number one, most effective way to teach kids. Lead by example, both with diet, both with incorporating physical activities, and make it fun. Like for crying out loud, kids just wanna have fun. Wait. I don't think that's how the song goes. I think Madonna did some song like that. But anyway, blast to the past, right? The 80s, that's kind of my era. But kids want to have fun and so should we, right? Make it fun. Go outside, do something fun with them. Activities that are fun and that prioritize regular movement. And even like simple stuff like teaching them to brush their teeth. Like, you know, make it fun. Make it a little goofy. Whatever you need to do, that's the way they will incorporate these habits into their life. It's simple, lead by example. That's the best way. And it's very, very simple. And it's not, I'm just going to say it, it's not an all or nothing. Like it's definitely not. Like I have in my own pantry, well, I did yesterday, Oreos. Don't have them all the time every day, but we might have a couple of things that are kind of more fun foods that are for once in a while. Like that's okay. It's okay. You got to have I think if you are extremists and you never allow kids to sample any of these kinds of other foods, like they're going to probably, once they're out of the house or even just when they go to a friend's party, they're going to be indulging on these things because they're going to maybe feel deprived. And I don't think that's the best way. Moderation and just teaching them that it's okay to have a treat once in a while. And to eat healthy is a simple process. It doesn't have to be complicated because you just eat real, whole, normal, single ingredient foods for the most part. And they'll adapt well. I mean, I, as a kid, didn't really have any health teaching, quote unquote. My mom made simply, you know, she made casseroles from normal ingredients that she found at the grocery store. We ate lots of tuna fish sandwiches on wheat bread. That's just kind of what we ate. We had a bread maker, or actually, I think she just made her own bread because she was awesome and she knew how to do that. Even knew how to use starter and stuff like that, yeast and what have you, that she had there cultivating in our kitchen. She even made homemade yogurt. Like, she made some cool stuff. And that's how I learned what was healthy, just by mimicking what I learned from my parents, right? I did. And I think that's the best way. Other things that we can show our kids that are cool and helpful and are behavioral oriented is with our own behaviors, right? If we are like glued to our phones 24/7 and we never put them down even while we're interacting with them, they're going to pick up on that and they're going to be doing that too, especially if you give them a phone. You can't be mad at them for not paying attention to you and being on their phones if that's what you do. Like, put the phone down when you have dinner time, put all the devices down, interact as a family. One of the cool things that I've learned from a health podcast, and I'm going to give a cool shout out to the Model Health Show. Like, he shared there about he wrote this book on eating. And this is Sean. You guys have probably heard of him, Sean Model, the Model Health Show dude. He shared in his book, like, one of the most healthy things he's found in his research and his practice is just having family meals. Like, the data actually shows that having meals together as a family not only improves health, because you generally tend to eat home cooked, you know, real, generally better quality foods, but also you interact, you have social engagement, you have connection, right? My favorite vitamin these days, vitamin C for connection. You're connecting with your family, and there's data on that. There was actually a study that came out of a local university, Brigham Young University here, just down the road from where I'm staying lately with my mom up in the mountains of Utah, staying in the beautiful area of Salt Lake City. And down the road in Provo, they have this university called BYU. They came out with a study a couple of years ago on how social connection enhances health. Like, you live longer, you live healthier, you live better, you enjoy your life more if you have social connection. One of the ways to do that is simply having family dinner. And Sean from the Model Health Show has shared on his show and in his book, he's got this cookbook that you should grab it. It's pretty fun. He does his own family recipes, other family recipes that he's learned from other folks that have been helpful in his life. And he has a couple of kids in his family's life. And he's modeling that in his own family, just these practices of eating together as a family, which I 100% support. I think that is the place and the mechanism to really share the connection that I hope you will have as a family. And if you don't have that right now, just shoot for it a couple of days a week. Shoot for a family meal a couple of days a week. It doesn't have to be every single day. I realize that we got to work. I often have to work at night, and so I might miss the dinner meal when I have to work at night because my shift starts at 6 p.m. That's usually about time we eat dinner, and I got to leave at like 4:30, and so I might miss that a couple of days a week or what have you, but that's okay. But just have the practice of eating 3 or 4 family meals a week, and that will help your kids be healthier, both because you're generally, hopefully, going to cook homemade meals, which are better quality, they're more fun, and you're going to interact. You're going to have this social connection and interaction, and hopefully you'll put your phones down during the meals as well. Or if you're traveling, you're out and about, and you're interacting over a meal that somebody else cooked at hopefully a reasonable, healthy restaurant choice, you're going to also put your phones down, and you're going to interact, and you're going to have fun and share what's up, what you're thinking, loving, learning. I did this podcast a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago now, where I shared some super helpful tips that I learned recently, or I actually relearned. I relearned recently, and one of them was just sharing your 3 wins for the day. And we don't do it every night, but we do it fairly regularly. We go around the table and we either share 1 or even up to 3 wins that we had that day. And that's been huge. It helps with just the overall, I think, attitude and mindfulness and just happiness level. Like, you can't help but be grateful when you're sharing your wins. So anyway, I'm a little bit long-winded here. I'm a little bit on my soapbox, and I haven't shared a ton of data because there's just not a lot out there. There's just not. I'm sorry to say it. There's just not a lot out there. And the last thing I wanted to share was there's a little bit of a podcast guide that I found online for kids. And it's more about finding, how would you go about finding an age-appropriate podcast for kids that are developmentally for their age group, that be talking about topics that are appropriate. I honestly think it's just easier. Don't have your kids listen to podcasts and just spend time with them. Simpler, easier. Like, don't just look for the I hate to say it, but a lot of us use devices and kids to kind of be that very inexpensive babysitter to attract their attention. And maybe we should just do less of that and just spend more time with them, interacting with them. I think that's the best way. And I think podcasts in general are not meant for kids. Certainly health podcasts, I really don't feel like are for kids. And I'm just going to ask you, don't even listen to health podcasts, not even mine. And I love my podcast, right? Don't listen to that with your kids, unless they're adult kids or you're sharing it with your adult kids. But young kids, they just don't know how to place all this stuff. And you may have, like this one example I shared in my own family, a kid that latches on to a funky concept. Maybe it's carnivore, maybe it's keto, and maybe it's just because the one health podcast you had, there was a guest that talked about these things and the kid latched on to one thing. And you and I know that there's, you know, there's context, right, to all these things, and kids can't always make the best use of that context. And so I'm just going to say it one more time. Don't have kids listen to health podcasts, not even mine, but lead by example. Example is the way, it's the truth, the life. It is the way that I've learned to help my kids be the best that they can be is through example. Not just my own, because I'm very imperfect, but examples of my parents, of those I love, those that I follow as well, that have been role models. I have my kids learn from them as well. And I would just say, you as a parent are powerful. You've got this. And little bits at a time, little changes at a time. You don't have to throw out your whole pantry today, but maybe just start buying more healthy things to put in there so the kids see them in there and you show them how to use them, utilize them, eat them whole, real foods a lot of the time. And if they want to have a dessert once in a while, dude, totally okay. Because I think the best thing that they can learn is that it's okay to be a kid. It's okay to have fun. It's okay to have some fun foods. You need to just relax a bit. I need to relax. Like, I'm a pretty relaxed dude, but like, I'm pretty specific about my diet sometimes. And like, sometimes I just eat an Oreo with my kids and that's cool. I'm just not eating a lot of them. I'm eating a lot more Brussels sprouts and broccoli and things like that. And they love those things too. And so number one, be yourself, be able to connect, communicate, and use that favorite vitamin I have of connection each and every day. Have a family meal. Reach out to me if you have questions. Thank you for being here, and a big aloha.